to the 8th chapter of Romans, for which we have been laboring quite some time, and just a few more outings and we shall wrap it up, dealing with the spirit of truth. Amen. In the 8th chapter, I think verses 16, 17, and 18 of Romans. Then this morning we shall move to the 18th verse of the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And then I have some gleanings that I wish to share with you from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. All right? Elder Liberman shall be our designated reader this morning, beginning in the 8th chapter of Romans. Elder read verse 16, 17, and 18. Again, we shall progress from there to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And then, again, I will share with you some gleanings from Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Everyone have Romans chapter 8. Everyone that has it, in the verse 16, say amen.
Amen.
All right, read or read.
Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together.
And we have dealt with that suffering here, basically according to the 6th chapter of Romans, speaks to our identification with the suffering of Christ. Amen. Our suffering could never bring about this type of glory. Amen. All right. Verse 18.
For I reckon that the sufferings of
I evaluate.
That the sufferings of this present time.
The sufferings of this present time. Again, the Greek word neem, translated now, are the sufferings of the things that we're going through now. Amen. We are all going through something now. Everybody in here this morning, you're going through something. I know I wasn't spying on you this week. Amen. If you're alive, if you're between the womb and the tomb, you have some problem this morning. There's something that's nagging you. There's something that's ailing you. Amen. There's something that is not in the vein that you would have it to be. Amen. So here he says in the previous verse that the suffering that brings about our glory is the suffering that we identify with, which is the suffering of Christ. And now he talks about the suffering that we are going through. Amen. And here he says what?
Are not worthy to be compared.
Not worthy to be what?
Compared.
To be compared, amen, with what?
With the glory which shall be revealed in us.
You notice here Paul switched from, he doesn't actually switch. Yes, he does. He diverts the attention away from our focusing so much on what we are presently going through and what we are presently involved in to the essence of our glorified position in Christ. So what Paul is basically doing is he's moving the focus out of time into eternity. It is in time where we're having our problems. It is in eternity where we shall be glorified with him. You notice that? Amen. And so the prioritized attention should be on the eternal everlasting ram.
Yes.
Not on what is happening and what is going on now. When we look around now, you probably won't get a very encouraging picture. Every day something is happening. A few weeks ago didn't mean too much to us in America, because if it's not happening here, we don't really think that much about it. But some 40, 50, 60,000 people in Iran, that's bigger than many cities. Wiped out in an earthquake. And then we look around and we see on the news, you turn on the news last night, and in fact, if it's not bad news, it doesn't make news. It doesn't make the 11 o'clock program. You know, someone that has done some atrocious act, some catastrophe has happened, someone has died. It's really no great news that someone has died. Somebody's dying every day. Amen. So when you look around and you see all of these things going on, it's a part of our present environment of the present creation, which is depraved. And according to the writings elsewhere in this chapter, God changed the environment. He changed perfect creation that he made in order to match the imperfectness of man, of Adam. In other words, when Adam sinned in the garden and he fell into the depraved state, God accommodated him by changing creation, changing the depraved environment. Otherwise, Adam would have instantly been destroyed.
Yes.
And because we are depraved creatures, the only environment that would accommodate us is a creation of depravity. Mm-hmm. And what goes along with depravity? Depravity is chaos, trouble, yes, murder, rape.
Yeah.
What goes along with robbery, hate, violence, amen.
Yeah.
All the way back, you can go all the way back and see Cain as he murdered his brother, Abe, and it has continued, and it waxed worse. One point, God sent the flood and wiped it out, but he saved Noah and his family, and those that were in the ark were just as depraved as those who he destroyed. Amen. And so, through Ham, Shem, and Japheth, it started all up again. Amen. He didn't wipe out murder. Amen. For him to wipe out murder, he would have had to wipe out those that he saved in the ark.
Right.
Amen. And then change creation or the environment back to that which is perfect. But one day we going there.
We're going there.
We're headed there.
Yes.
Not there. We're on our way, but we're not there. We're not there yet.
Right.
Amen. And so, what the apostle is doing in this verse is he moves the spotlight from the essence of time for which we are suffering to the arena of eternity.
Yes.
For which there will be no suffering. Amen. In fact, he speaks of a glory there. So what is this saying to us? Amen. That our focus should be, amen, on the heavenly abode of the unseen. And when I say our focus, I mean our priority should be there over whatever is going around on in your world now. If the Lord tarries and another 1,000 years go by, and I don't know whether it will or not, amen, I don't think so, but if another 300 or 400 years or 200 years go by, let's say we were in the year 2250, it won't even matter what's going on in our life today. You know why? Because we won't even be here anymore.
That's right. That's right.
Amen. So what the Word of God is trying to get us to do is to focus on the eternal, everlasting sphere for which we shall throughout all of our existence in eternity, in eternity, dwell in him. Mm-hmm. Now, let us turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. And of course, we do it like the Bible. I don't care what, and I know that many of the so-called mega ministries down there are drawing in the masses and thousands of them, teaching the gospel of the here and the now and prosperity. You get all you can all you get. You can have it all now. You can be happy 5 steps to being debt free and worry free and amen and problem free. And of course, it's all a fallacy. You amen. There is an essence of growing in God to the point of being worry free. But don't you ever think. Don't you ever think that you're going to be problem free. Amen. When you cross the threshold and you transition out of here, now you're moving toward an arena where you will be, amen, trouble free. But as long as you're here, amen, there's no such thing. All right, to Elder, let's start at verse 17 there. We'll go to 17 and then 18. Everybody got 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17. Say amen. Amen. All right, read.
2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17.
Mm-hmm.
For our light affliction, which is but for a moment.
You notice that in the original Greek it says, our momentarily light afflictions. And this is in the vein that Paul describes it as being light, is that it's only for a moment. Amen. Read.
Worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen.
We don't prioritize the things that are seen, but we prioritize the things that are unseen. I'm going to read this from the Greek text here at the Grace Gospel Church. We primarily teach and preach from the Greek New Testament. The Bible was written in the original, that is the New Testament. The Old Testament's in the Hebrew and the New Testament in the Greek. So we try to go back to as near as possible to the Greek manuscripts. And we preach and teach from that. We always read from the King James. Is basically because that is what most of us are so familiar with. But in order to get the deeper gleanings, we go and we get the original manuscripts and we basically follow the thought progression using the grammatical approach to determining what is being conveyed. So from the Greek text, translation, and by the way, if you want to follow along with me on some parts of this, if you got the document called The Spirit of Truth, page 21 at the bottom. From the Greek text, we're not looking at the things being seen, but at the things not being seen. For the things being seen are temporal, but the things not being seen are eternal. Amen. Again, as we conveyed to you the basic verbs in that verse, four of them, they are actually participles, the verb of adjectives, rendered being seen, or being perceived. And two of them have the negative particle me, preceding it, which it is conveyed not being seen, not being perceived. So here Paul speaks of those things that we should be looking at, and there are those things that we should be looking at, or we should be prioritizing. At the beginning of this verse, he uses the Greek phrase "me scopendon," translated we're not looking. Basically, what he's saying here is what the church, what God's people should be doing.
Right.
Amen. Or should not be doing.
Right.
Amen. We should not be looking at or prioritizing the physical things that are around us. Oh, yeah, they're there, and I'm not saying you walk around here with some type of container over your head so that you don't see what's going on. Amen. We are fully aware of all that is around us and all of the things that are transpiring on a daily basis as they do, in fact, effectuate us. Amen. But our greater influence, amen, is gleaned from those heavenly eternal things that we don't see. And I know that's like a paradox, because basically we are moved by the things that effectuate the flesh. Amen. I mean, the things that we see and that we touch, we can reach out, amen, and physically connect with. Amen. Somebody say, hey, that's the real world. I got news for you. Amen. The real world, amen, is the world that God has eternally, amen, prepared for you to dwell in. Amen. And whatever's going on now is temporary. And that which is temporary cannot in no way be construed as being more real than that which is eternal. So as the verse conveys to us, we are not looking at or prioritizing or dwelling on things which are seen, are the visible things. Amen. The things seen in the present tense, in the passive voice. The thing that is unseen. Amen. Our minds, amen, can, through the word of God, shift and prioritize and continually dwell, yes, even now while we're in these physical bodies, on the physical plane of those things that are around us, the word of God can take us into the eternal sphere, amen, where we'll be able to see those things that are not visible to all men. In fact, in contrast, amen, we have the invisible things that are spiritually visible to only some. That is the elect of God, God's people. We are blessed, we are privileged to dwell and to see and to abide in the unseen, in the spiritual. Amen. Now, in order to emphasize this contrast, as to what our informed minds, you notice I say informed minds, should not be prioritizing or dwelling on versus what should be prioritized, the Apostle Paul uses the strong adversative conjunction in the Greek ally. That's a conjunction translated but. Here he implies that we should be looking at or dwelling on the things not seen. Now I know many ministries this morning, amen, they are giving so-called prescriptions for life.
Yeah.
5 ways to do this, 10 ways to avoid that, and so on. Amen. And of course, that's what preaching basically has become. It would be okay if I could square it with what is written here, but I can't. Amen. That is absolutely antithetical to what is written here.
It is.
Amen.
Amen.
They're saying that we should focus and prioritize the things around us.
Mm-hmm.
And what the word of God is saying is that, no, don't go there. Amen. I want to share with you some gleanings from some writings that I have in relationship to curriculum in our Sunday school, Basically, we are also writing and conveying the material for our adult class also. And at one point I thought that I would insert it into the Spirit of Truth. I think I won't now. Amen. That document is some 26 pages long. I think I'll just leave it at that. But I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. We shall dwell on some aspects of that. Amen. I know we are doing an awful lot of reading, but you know what? That's actually what said preaching, whether it's preaching or teaching, there's really no difference. Should not be a difference between preaching and teaching. Amen. It's the conveyance of thought and information. Amen. I know most they look upon preaching as that which should be inspiring. My God, if you ever get the essence of the intended thought and directives that the Holy Spirit has so documented in the Word of God. If you get this, I mean, if this doesn't inspire you, somebody preaching and giving you some slogans and making you laugh and, you know, giving you some philosophical directions, that's not going to get it. Amen. I've seen people sitting, so watch television, especially in the mega churches, and they're writing, and I'm listening, I'm saying, now, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. No, how I know it's not going to work? Because the Bible said it's not going to work. Amen. Our minds have to be taken out of the realm of where we are into the realm where He is. And then we're able to look down on these problems where we are. Amen. So it's from the vertical vantage point of our eternal existence in God that we must view the light bill. Ooh. Huh? And the mortgage note. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah. You know, and the problems that you having on your job. Amen. That supervisor, that boss that's making your life miserable. You know what I mean? You got to, you know, not five ways how to make the boss behave. Amen. No. In the eternal realm, from the vantage point of what God has done, you look down upon those things. And then the impact of them begin to lessen. See, all right, this is what the Word of God is saying anyway. Everybody got to Colossians chapter 1, verse, Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Say amen.
Amen.
All right, read.
Colossians chapter 3, verse 1.
Everybody got to say amen.
Amen.
All right, read.
If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth.
Now, how does that spur against what the prosperity teaches of prioritizing? Huh? I mean, is this the Word of God? Is this something we're making up? Is this true? Is it right? Amen. Paul starts it out with the phrase, "Eun sinin yetinte." Which is written, "If or whether you are risen." Now he doesn't say this as a condition. He only says this, and you notice here you have a quoted-in conjunction. Therefore. What Paul is basically referring back to is those who are saved. And what he is saying here is what is written here is for those of us who are saved. Now, the world is not going to buy into this. I don't expect the world to follow this. You know, what did Paul write on one occasion? He said, the preaching to them, he said, to the Jews is a stumbling block. That's those that Israel, whose eyes are blinded until the time of the Gentiles has transpired. So, amen. We don't expect them out in the synagogue to even follow this. Amen. No. The synagogue, amen. The Bible shows us that in this present age and dispensation, they are blinded. That's the way it is. That's the way God has arranged it.
Yes.
Then he says to the Greeks, to the non-saved, non-elect Gentiles, say, this is nonsense. It's foolishness. But to you and to me and to those who are saved, if you are saved, if you're a child of God, say it is the power, it is the dunamis. I know dunamis in Erasmus pronunciation. It is the dunami, the thinami. It is the power of God unto salvation. So what it's saying is, this is the way to go. This is what it's all about.
Yes.
So those who are risen in Christ. I want to read from the Greek text translation. Therefore, if you have been risen with Christ, if that is your status, it says seek the things above. I want to repeat that. Seek the things above. Where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Now, note the structure. Here we have a dual phrase. It's a conjunctive phrase. You have two conjunctions there. One is coordinating, which means that what Paul is saying here ties into something that he has previously said. And when you look at the subordinating function, it means that what he is saying here, amen, is in subordination to something that he has said. There's a reason that he has said. So here we have the Greek phrase, eun, rendered if then, therefore if. Here it draws its inference from its previous verses, 20 through 23, amen, of chapter 2. And let's see the time. Well, we'll utilize the time. Amen. Let's go back to verse 20 of the antecedent chapter. That is chapter 2, verse 20. And everybody turn back to that for just a quick second. It's probably one page over, depending upon how your Bible is structured. Maybe I'll even have to turn the page. All right? So everyone focus on the 20th verse, the second chapter of Colossians.
Amen.
Here, I'm trying to get you to see what Paul is referring to. All right? Read.
Colossians 2:20.
Mm-hmm.
Wherefore, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of the world,
mm-hmm.
why, as though living in the world, are ye subject to ordinances?
Mm-hmm.
Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using,
mm-hmm.
after the commandments and doctrines of men,
mm-hmm.
which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility, and neglecting of the body, not in honor to the satisfying of the flesh.
All right, I'm going to read that from the Greek, the translation that is. Are you with me? If you died with Christ from the rudiments of the world, why, as though living in the world, are you subject to ordinances? Do not handle, not taste, not touch. Verse 22. All which things, or all of these things, that is the things of the world, they are perishing with the using, according to the commandments and the teaching of men. Amen. So it is not human logic that you rule us. It is what is written. Even though human logic somehow clicks with our natural mind. And this is why the Bible, in another place, even in another gospel, says lean not to your own understanding. Just because it seems logical. If it's in opposition to what is written here, let's go with what's written, not what seems logical. I know that's tough. I know that's tough. In verse 23, it reads, which things indeed have a message, a wisdom, and will worship, and humility, and severity to the body. But, now you understand what I'm saying now? It is a message of wisdom, and will worship, and humility, and severity to the body. But they're not of any value against the indulgence of the flesh. So it's not going to get you there. It's not going to result in what you want if you go back and see. And not that I'm knocking philosophy and psychology. They have their places as science functions do. Amen. But they are not substitutes. But what the Word of God is leading us to do. If philosophy says it's one thing and the Word of God says the other, what shall we do? If the psychologist said do it this way and the Word of God said no, do it the opposite, what will we do? And then as we look at this verse, if the Word of God is telling us to prioritize the above unseen things, and here we are bombarded by what many of us call real life, which I had someone to say to me, you know, he said, you know, what you preach is, you know, that's okay, but we got to deal with real life. I guarantee you that the eternal things of God are much more real than what you think you see and you think you know and you think you're dealing with. It's an illusionary mindset that many of God's people have fallen into. Even to the point that many of the ministries, they're almost embarrassed to preach about heaven. Embarrassed to preach about the eternal things of God. For fear of being irrelevant. For fear of being boring. And you started talking about a new car, a new house. Started talking about money in the bank. You know, many of the flesh, my flesh perks up. And then I have to say, down, boy, down. You see. So, the message cannot be one that is to emotions. Emotions will lead you wrong. Emotions lead you into the land of fantasy.
That's it. Amen.
Into the world of what you think it is, only to be disappointed when you find out that what you thought it was, it wasn't. This is why rich people, if it was about that, the rich and the famous and the wealthy, they would be happy. Why aren't they happy this morning? Most of them, they're not as happy as we are. If this is what blissfulness amounts to, why aren't those who so-called have it, why are they so unhappy? You see, the Word of God is speaking to us, but we aren't listening. We aren't listening. I'm talking about God's people. They don't expect the world to listen, but God's people are not listening. it said, therefore, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the above thing. Where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Follow me now. So in verses 20 through 23, he draws inference from what he says here. In verse 20, Paul relates the fact that those having died through identification with Christ are also a result and who have died with Christ. As a result of this, we are severed, or we are cut off from the elements, or we are cut off, or we should be separated from the basic principles of the world. In verses 21 through 23, Paul outlays some of the things that God's people are to be separated from. And we are to be separated again because we have died with Christ. Through identification, we have died with Christ. And so the things that we should be separated from are the commandments and teaching of men. What are you talking about, Paul? I'm talking about what the world says it is, and how it is, and what it should be, and how we should deal with it. Paul said we should be separated from that. In verse 1, as we've just read, it expands the thought in this continuum to the progression of us having been raised, that is by identification with Christ. As we reference the 6th chapter of Romans, it is by identification that you have been raised, that you have died, and that you have risen with him. Again, we focus on the subordinating conjunction if, as it only identifies the designees, yes, yes, are those who have the status, yes, who are indeed identified with both the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, right, which makes us members of his body. Yes. And I know that's not a big thing to some, but that's the greatest thing you got going for you.
Hallelujah.
You are members of his body. No, that's not something that you could take to Comerica Bank and say deposit this. They say, you know, we think we should call some place where we think you should be deposited. Not for me to understand these things. But this status, follow me now. Give me about 10 minutes. This status entails the characteristics of how we as new men in Christ should function. What should we do? How should we function? Should we function like the world? Here the Greek word synergethethe, rendered have been risen with, is derived from seen in a euro, and it literally denotes, that is according to the passive voice, to be raised up with or together with. Amen. In other words, you are physically on this earth, but positionally you have been raised up with Christ. This is why he can say, though you may be in this world, you are not of this world. So, Pastor, that's way out space talking. No, it's not. It is for the world, but it should not be for you and I. This is real. Follow me now. Note, we have what we call in the Greek grammar the aorist tense. Aorist tense is a what? Past completed action. Anytime you see a verb that is in the aorist tense, It is speaking of something that has happened.
Yeah.
It has occurred
yeah.
in the past.
Yeah.
It's a foregone action.
Yeah.
In other words, it's done.
Yeah.
So we have the aorist tense here that indicates that the fact that we are have died with Christ and we are risen in Him is a completed action. When did that occur? He said, the day I believe. No, long before that. According to Ephesians chapter 1, amen. He chose you and He elected you in Him before the foundation of the world. So, amen. So it was an action that occurred in eternity before God ever created you. So here, the focus of the conveyance here is focused and fixed on the workings of God in eternity on our behalf.
Yes. Yes.
You say, well, what has that got to do with my life? Everything. What has this got to do with the fact that I got this backache this morning? What does my eternal position in Christ have to do with my backache? Everything.
Everything.
Hallelujah. Because it assures me that I don't have to tolerate this body always.
Always.
Amen. I shall dwell in a glorified state where there'll never be any more backaches. Any other kind of aches. Nor any tight problems. So where, how is that helping me now? Everything.
Yes.
See, what you think about eternity translates down into life.
Yes,
that is if you dwell upon eternity and view life's problems from there, not from here. Because there are some days you're going to look around and there's not going to be anything to give you any encouragement. Everything you see, it's going to be in the discouraging mode.
Mm-hmm. 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 That's it.
So the Word of God is speaking to us this morning.
Glory.
This eternal transformation of the believer, follow me now, mm-hmm. it engenders a spiritual resurrection
mm-hmm.
that is to be practically displayed and employed and manifest it in time.
Yes, yes.
In effect, Paul is conveying how God's people are to live
mm-hmm.
and what they are to prioritize. Here, attention is drawn to what believers are to value. Notice I said believers now.
Yes.
Are to value above all else. That is, we are to hear Paul uses the Greek word zetephe, render seek. We are to seek.
Mm-hmm.
Literally, that word means to pursue after.
Oh, yes.
We are to pursue after. It means to strive for. We have to strive for. It means to endeavor to obtain. So we are to endeavor to obtain the above things. Follow this. Note this verb, zetephe, is a present imperative. What's the imperative mood? Command. Come on. That's in English now. Come on, y'all. That's in English. Imperative mood. That's a command. So here we are. Commanded to strive for. We are commanded to pursue after. We are commanded to endeavor to obtain the things that are above. This eliminates any option to the contrary. Thus Those who are spiritually resurrected are to be spiritually oriented in the sphere of non-material, non-physical, and we are to dwell in the unseen arena. I think I'll repeat that. If we have been spiritually resurrected, this is where our orientation would be, spiritually, in the sphere of non-material, non-physical. And thus, we have to abide in the unseen arena. Now, here's the problem. The alternative, either things above which are all inherent in Christ are things upon earth, wherein Satan is the prince and power of the air. Yes, I did. Satan is the God of this world. I know this is the word faith people they teach, amen, that the man has dominion of what's going on, and all he has to do is speak the word, and then God is obligated to do it. Amen. If you look at Ephesians 2:2, it says Satan is the prince and the power of the air.
Yes.
The god of this world. And many other places, 2 Corinthians 4:4, amen, speaks of the end as to whom, amen, is the head of the depraved environment. I'm glad, amen, that's not my dominion. Amen. We're severed from it. Yes. It is apparent that both the above and the earth cannot be simultaneously accommodated. Here it is important to distinguish the messages of the gospel as we were dealing with this morning. Kingdom versus gospel of the grace of God.
Amen.
Kingdom is that message. It's an earthly message. Mm-hmm. It is the message that is conveyed in the synoptic gospels. Mm-hmm. And the kingdom gospel, as it finds its foundation in the prophecies, Isaiah and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Amos, all of them, the minor prophets, going down. Prophet Joel, all of those, and you see the reference made back to those prophecies is all in an earthly sphere.
Yes.
It's basically the implementation of what God promised Abraham way back in the book of Genesis. The Abrahamic promise, this implementation, that's what the new covenant is, Jeremiah 31:31. It's all earthly and physical. As glorious and great as that is, and this is what God has promised to Israel, and this is what he gives to Israel when he comes back, and he sets up his throne, he sets up on the throne of David in Jerusalem, and he rules this world for 1,000 years. He's carrying out his promise to Abraham. That's all physical and earthly. But that's not our gospel.
No.
That's not what he has for you. This is why he's saying, amen, if that was the case, then he would not say to us that you are not citizens of this world.
That's what he said.
Did he not say it?
That's what he said.
Huh? Did he not say that our citizenship is above? Amen. So our gospel focuses on the eternal realm, and someone would say, well, what is that? What is that all about? Here is important to distinguish the messages of the gospel. Note in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, Jesus promises physical necessities, as it is definitely concomitant, accomplished the earthly kingdom. But on the other hand, there are no promises. promises of physical rewards in the heavenlies are the sphere of future manifestation of glory in the essence of the body of Christ, and the recipients thereof are defying anyone to go into our gospel. I'm not talking about the kingdom gospel. Go into the gospel that is conveyed by the Apostle Paul, who testifies that he is the apostle to the Gentiles. Go into the writings of Paul, which are the directives to the church, and show me where God has promised us even one into the eternal realm.
Oh.
And you see the things of God.
Yes. Thank you.
Oh my God. Yes. But here's the problem. Let me hit one point and then I'm down for the day.
Come on with it.
A problem is, yes, as we look into this verse, mm-hmm, we see a definite article. We have the definite article ta. In arguments, the Greek adverb. Adverb tells what? When, where, and how. All right. So we have the adverb ano. So we have the expression ta ano. It's written the things above. Watch this now. In this expression, things should be construed to connote anything should not be construed to connote anything physical, concrete, or seen. And it is only because we use the language to denote the entity that we use the word things. Actually, the actual Greek reading is that above. It doesn't say the things above. We insert that because he said things, so you know that you're talking about some entity. But he said, focus on that which is above. Focus on the above. This is what he's saying. So we should not construe things to be anything physical, concrete, or seen, as the inference actually conveys spiritual, abstract, and physically unseen entities that are only depicted in the vertical sphere of God. I think I'll repeat that. When we use the word things, we're not talking about anything physical, concrete, or anything that is seen. And this is why there is no description of heaven. So what are you talking about? What about the streets of gold and the pearly gate? My friend, that's New Jerusalem. That's earthly. That is the city of God that comes down from heaven. That is not heaven. Paul said, eyes haven't seen, nor ears heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of me and those things that God has prepared for those who love him. He said, well, then tell me about it. Amen. There it is. In Christ. He said, well, tell me more. What are you talking about? In Christ.
In Christ.
It's about in Christ. Let me hit this now. I got about 3 minutes. Here, in this light, we focus on the Greek phrase, ouo Christou estin in thesia. To theo katamenos. That phrase is rendered where Christ is sitting on the right hand of God. Thus, our concentration in the heavenly sphere is not so much on things, but on the essence of Christ and our place in Him as members of His body. Hence, our heavenly abode is not invested in places. Heaven is not a place. So what? Heaven is not a place. Christ is the essence of creation. Our gospel teaches us that all things were made by Him and for Him, and without Him nothing was made. Follow this now. If you have the Creator, that's more than creation.
Glory. Yes.
So if you have the essence of Christ, why are you worried about the things that He created? If you got the Creator, that's more than creation. Oh, my God.
Yes.
So our heavenly abode is not invested in places, things, a condition, but all is consummated in Christ, who occupies the ultimate position of favor, as demonstrated by the Greek adjective thexia, rendered right hand.
Glory.
Accordingly, our focus and attention is transfixed on where Christ is. The essence of Christ. So it's all about Him. And so why do we preach, it gets some, this time of year we get close to the 15th of January, and sometime preachers, friends of mine, they said, man, what are you doing for Martin Luther King Sunday? I said, what? Who set aside a Sunday for him? He said, well, you know, I'm happy for his contributions, and
yeah.
Amen, because next week I... 2 weeks after that is President's Day. I mean, we're going to have President's Sunday. We're going to talk about George Washington, Abraham Lincoln freeing the slaves. You know what I mean? We just go on down the line, you know? And we have to stop and talk about, give Ronald Reagan some credit for he signed the bill for the Martin Luther King birthday. I mean, you're all over the place. And that's the kind of stuff we're hearing. And meanwhile, nobody's paying attention to Christ. And the Spirit of Truth is telling us that's what the action is. In Christ. Because long after we're gone, long after the events that are surrounding us, the politics that is captivating us, the social conditions that affect us, the psychological conditions that influence us, as all of these things have passed, as all of these things have gone away. But the Scripture teaches us, that the things around us, they are moving, they are deteriorating, they are coming to an end, and a screeching halt. Amen. And all that men are putting their confidence and trust in are moving toward a conclusion, because one day, can you say one day? One day we're out of here. We're going to take off mortality. We're going to put on eternity. We're going to put off these depraved tempers and dwell in the essence of the body of Christ. One day we're going out of here. One day we're going where Jesus is, and we're created there, and there dwells eternally with him. God bless you.
Oh, bless God, bless God, bless God, bless God. We have to go with the Word of God.